the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, July the 24th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Last-minute maneuvering ahead of today's Mueller time. Also on our Wednesday rundown, anti-poverty groups slam the Trump administration's changes to food assistance. Plus, has misinformation become the new political norm? Now our top story, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's deputy, Aaron Zebley, is now expected to appear next to Mueller as his counsel on today's hearings on the Special Counsel report. That's from CNN, which cites a House Judiciary Committee source. Zebley will be there to advise Mueller, but the Special Counsel will be the only one answering the committee questions before the Judiciary Committee. Meantime, NBC News reports that Zebley will be sworn in as a witness, along with Mueller, for the afternoon testimony today, that before the Intelligence Committee. Groups that advocate for the working poor speaking out now against a new policy proposal from the Trump administration to make it harder for people to get food stamps via the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP.
Right now, if you qualify for Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF, states are allowed to automatically enroll you in SNAP. Under the new rule, TANF recipients would have to undergo another financial review before accessing SNAP. Autumn Zemke, co-chair of the Northern Nevada Working Families Party, says this is just another hurdle and more suffering for families already struggling.
I think it's an attack specifically on working class folks in our state and across the United States. You know, taking away the few bucks that somebody's getting in food stamps every month, if they're making $30,000 a year, people are going to go hungry even more than they already are.
As of this April, almost 420,000 people in Nevada received SNAP benefits, a drop of 4.4% from April of last year. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates the change would push just over 3 million people off the program and save the government $2.5 billion a year. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The max a single person with no kids can make to qualify for SNAP is $1,247 a month, and the maximum benefit is $194 per month. Most people who do get SNAP benefits have to work at least 20 hours a week to qualify. In Ohio, electric customers will soon be footing the bill for some aging coal-fired power plants, Mary Sherman explains.
Governor Mike DeWine signed House Bill 6 on Tuesday, just hours after it was passed by the legislature. The law imposes an energy tax on electric customers to subsidize FirstEnergy's two northern Ohio nuclear plants, as well as Ohio Valley Electric Corporation's Kiger Creek coal plant in Ohio and Clifty Creek coal plant in Indiana. Richard Hill has lived near Clifty Creek for most of his life and believes it's wasteful to bail out aging coal plants when their pollution threatens communities.
They're trying to force ratepayers to pay for something that's not economical and not clean, and there are definitely better alternatives that they should be exploring.
Hill says other utility companies are moving away from coal and investing in renewable sources like wind and solar. HB 6 also ends the state's renewable energy and energy efficiency programs, but provides some funds for solar and wind power. Supporters claim the law will save Ohio about $640 million and incentivize renewable energy.
Meantime, our Eric Tegedoff tells us some Washington State students are going back to school this year, and they'll have more than a school nurse as a health resource.
School-based health centers provide a variety of care, including mental health therapy, physical exams, and even dental care. The clinics already are prominent in King County schools, and the movement is growing in other parts of the state. Thriving Schools Program Manager for Kaiser Permanente, Jill Patnode, says health access is an essential part of success at school.
Schools and health, there is a huge point of intersection between the two. And so from the education lens, when you have students that are not healthy, they have a toothache, they're sick, they honestly are not in a place where they can learn.
Patnode says the school-based health centers model allows kids to get the care they need without causing a major interruption to their school day. She notes mental and physical health clinics in schools can lower absenteeism and improve student outcomes, according to studies. Over the next 3 years, she says Kaiser is providing $1.2 million in startup grants to open clinics in Spanaway and Spokane schools.
Finally, Jen Stanley tells us as primary season ramps up in New Hampshire, voters are reminded to be wary of bogus political pitches and claims they find online.
This week, Twitter removed an account posing as the New Hampshire Democratic Party, which first appeared Sunday morning using the official party logo and the handle @DemsNH. The account posted divisive tweets about New Hampshire Democratic Party Chair Ray Buckley. Simon Rosenberg, president of the New Democrat Network, says it's the latest sign that online misinformation campaigns are the new norm.
It may have been the Russians that brought some of this stuff to our country back in 2015 and 2016, but it's now proliferating throughout our political system. There have been examples of things like this all over the country, in state races and governor's races. It's just the kind of common tactic that is now going to be used.
The New Hampshire Democratic Party says that publicly available data, including early followers of the fake account, suggests that the Hillsborough County Republican Committee was behind it, a claim that committee has denied.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.